give some thought. Bless them, Lord.
I was working in town one afternoon, attending some business affairs, when I heard a commotion a couple streets over, and wondered what was happening there. A young man was running from in that direction and stopped just to catch his breath.
She does a great job on this song as well with my soul.
Yeah.
I hope it's well with your soul tonight.
Bless the Lord, man. Please remind me, Father.
But the whole is never. my soul. It is well. Yeah. It is well with my soul.
Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. Amen tonight.
Amen. All right. Wonderful. Yeah. Amen. All right. Open your Bibles tonight if you would. 1 Corinthians tonight, chapter 7 tonight, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And we're going to read the 5 verses tonight. We'll read one verse together there tonight. Verse 1 through verse 5. And we'll read verse 3 together tonight. Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let's read verse 3 together. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power over her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power over his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer. Thank you, may be seated. Our fathers, we come to you, Lord, this evening. We do thank you for another opportunity to be in God's house.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, as we come this evening, we ask you, Lord, to bless the reading of the Word of God. And Lord, that you'll take other places in the Bible and put it all together tonight and speak to our hearts, Lord, from your Word. And Lord, we know tonight that not everybody here tonight is married. Not everyone has a wife or a husband. But Lord, we believe tonight that you put this stuff in the Word of God. And Lord, we need it for our own help and instruction, Lord. And I pray that God, you'll use it tonight,
yes, Lord,
to touch our hearts and to help us, Lord, as husband and wife. And Lord, to give information for those that may someday, Lord, find that themselves married. Now, Lord, we ask today, tonight, that you will bless and move in a wonderful way and just have your way in this service tonight.
Yes,
we pray that God would get all the glory, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Young girl there with Peggy this morning, she come out there at the door, and she told me she got saved this morning, sitting right there in her seat.
Yeah. Amen.
Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Amen. Here we are in the last week of October, and she got saved. That's wonderful, isn't it?
Amen,
brother. Amen. All right. Well, Paul is writing here the whole chapter. If you read it, if you have a Scofield Bible, it says, because God has established marriage. And so the story of the Bible, you know, it starts with a marriage. We go back to Genesis 2, and the Bible said, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. He slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh, the Bible says. So the story of the Bible starts out with a marriage, see. Now, the story of the Bible ends up with a marriage.
Right.
We go over to Revelation 19, and the Bible says in verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. So we see that the Bible starts out with the marriage, it ends up with the marriage.
Right.
And of all the things that God could use to illustrate the relationship between Christ and his church, God chose a marriage.
That's right.
Ephesians 5. The Bible said, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it.
Amen.
That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word.
That's right.
That he might present it unto himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So men ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourish and cherish it, even as the Lord the church.
Right.
For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Now watch verse 32.
Right.
This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and his church.
Yeah.
So we see here that even though God is talking about the relationship between the man and the woman, that when he gets through with all of it, God said, I'm telling about a great mystery, and I speak about Christ and his church. So the Bible starts with a marriage, it ends with a marriage. A lot to do in the middle about a marriage. And God uses a marriage to be the thing that he uses to illustrate his relationship between himself and his church. So no wonder the devil fights marriages.
Yes.
Amen.
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 No wonder the devil fights that as hard as anywhere else. Really, the first attack was not on the church. The first attack was on the home.
That's right.
Right.
The first thing that Satan tried to disrupt was the marriage in Genesis 3 and 1.
That's right.
He came and he began to talk to another man's wife and began to deceive her. And it wound up in that they lost their home there in the Garden of Eden.
That's right.
Well, the devil's still doing that. He talks to men and women, and many of them wind up, if they listen to him, they'll wind up losing the home that God has given them. Amen?
That's right,
Amen.
Brother Rick.
Marriage is like your car. You can buy it and you can drive it for a long time and may never have a bit of trouble with it. But sooner or later, if you don't change the oil, check the brakes, get a tune-up, do something to it, it's going to break down on you somewhere out there on the side of the road. Someone said marriage is made in heaven. That's true. There's marriages made in heaven, I guess, but the maintenance is kept up down here.
Amen.
And that's what I want to preach on tonight. Really, my text is three looks to help your marriage and mine. Three looks to help your marriage. But I'm really talking about the maintenance of marriage. And I want to just say three things tonight, and I'll be kind of brief tonight, but I want to say some things that I believe that God will use it, and I know it's true that God will use it if you'll apply it, that God will use it to help your marriage. I think that everybody that's married ought to want a better marriage.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
And, you know, I don't know what the divorce rate is right now, and I'm not interested in how many times you have or have not been married. I'm interested tonight in the marriage you're in right now.
Amen.
And how to make that work and how to make that last. And,
bless you,
and God wants it to work. And God, he wants it to last. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to say three looks tonight to help your marriage and help mine tonight. And the first thing I want to say tonight is I think a look back.
Yeah.
That'd be a past look.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah,
and I think sometimes it's like when we're going a long trip and we get traveling and things get going so fast that somehow or another we forget what we see along the way.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
And it's good sometimes to just stop and just look back and
Amen.
Sometimes push the rewind on
yeah.
your marriage. That's a good thing to do. Amen.
Yeah.
That's always good to go back and you know, when Jacob got out of sorts, and you know what God told him to do? He said, go back.
Yeah.
He said, go back to Bethel. And so he did, and things got straightened out.
That's right.
When the prodigal son's life was all out of sorts, you know what he did? He had to go back. And
Amen.
When he went back, things got better. And he got it all fixed up. Amen. And I think sometimes the devil gives us some kind of a spiritual amnesia.
He
makes us forget where we've been,
right.
what we've been through,
Amen.
What we've done together, how we've helped each other, where he's brought us from.
Yeah.
And it's always good to look back. Amen.
Amen.
God, he taught me that through answer to a prayer a few years ago at our 35th
wedding anniversary, and you know, after 35 of them, you've done everything you know to do just about. And I wanted it to be special, and I prayed and asked God to let me know what I could do that might be special on our 35th anniversary. You know, after several weeks of prayer, God let me know what to do. He said, what did he say do? He said, go back.
Yeah.
And so I told my wife, I said, I want you to be ready Saturday at 2 o'clock. And our family was having a family reunion that week, and I said, I want you to be ready at 2 o'clock. And she said, where are we going? I said, just be ready. She said, what do you want me to wear? I said, don't care, just be ready.
Bless you, Lord.
She said, we're going to that reunion, ain't we? And I said, no, we're not going to no family reunion. You just be ready, and I'll pick you up at 2 o'clock. And so at 2 o'clock, I did pull in the driveway, and I picked her up. She got in the car, and we started driving, Eddie.
Yeah.
And the first place we drove was we drove to where we both went to school at, out there at Temple Hill High School.
Bless you, Lord.
And we both went to school out there. And it so happened, I know God was in it, because when we got there, they usually got the gate locked to the football field, and the gate was open. And I just drove right through across there and pulled up right behind that little concession stand where the first time I ever kissed my wife was in about 7th, 8th grade there at that concession stand. And I pulled up there, and I had a card, and I handed her that card, and she knew immediately what it was, and she read that card, and then we left there, and we went somewhere else, and we left there, and we went down to the little Methodist church down there, Boyd's Creek Methodist Church, and we went down there and pulled up there at the church. You say, why'd you pull up there for? Well, that's where we got married at. And I pulled up there, and then we left there, Brother Eddie,
yeah.
And I drove on out to the little four-room house where we lived for about 7 or 8 years. We drove out there and pulled up to that little house there, and I gave her another card there, and we talked, and it all come back to mind. You know, when we were doing that, it all come back to mind.
Yeah.
Of course, we rented from her grandparents, $30 a month, about all we could do to get it together. But $30 a month for about 7 years we lived there. And then we bought our first house. She likes to tell about it. I kind of be the man of the house. And I didn't know much about nothing like that then. And I come home one day and I said, I got you something. And she said, what'd you get me? And I said, I bought you a house. She said, you did what? And I said, I bought you a house. And we drove over there to look at it, and Brother Marty is kind of in a rough part of town there, and we pulled up, and she said, somebody got killed here the other day. I'm not living here. And what was a good thing turned out a bad thing. I've learned since then, you know. I've learned that's that kind of stuff, something you do together. But I didn't know. So we didn't buy that house. We ended up buying another house. And so we drove over there to buy the house, and went there, and I gave her a card, and then we lived there about 3 years. Then we drove on down to the street there, Cleveland Avenue, and where we bought another house, and we drove there. And then we after we got married, we went to Star Motel, the same one over there. It was a little bit different then, a little bit nicer then. And we drove over there, and then we came to the house there anywhere that we had bought. And so we just really made a circle. We just really went around and around. You know, I was thinking about this. You know what people do when they die? It's real popular now. When people die, they put a video up of their whole life. Ain't that what they do?
Yeah.
And everybody sits there and watches that video. It's all right and everything. That's what you want to do. But it's like your life passes before you, isn't it? And you sit there and you watch that whole thing. Well, that's good, you know. And we do that to make us remember the person that's passed away,
right,
and how they touched our life. But I was thinking, Brother Nathan, I think it'd be a good thing if we wouldn't wait till we die to do that.
Right.
I think it'd be a good thing if we made one before we died. And we sit down about every 2 or 3 years and we just watched that, where we got married at, some special times in our life.
Yep.
And I'm telling you, it'd bring a revival to your marriage. When you remember what God has brought you through and where you've come from. Amen.
Yep.
I'm going to stop preaching right here just for a minute. And I want to go back a little bit, all right? And now, me and my wife, we dated ever since seventh grade. Amen?
Amen.
That's her, Brother Eddie. First time I seen her there, that's her.
Amen.
And I remember the first time I seen her, I was up in the library at the second floor there, and I seen her walking around the school, and I said, she's cute. And so it took a while, but she finally come around. And we dated off and on all the way through high school. We dated. Now, Brother Eddie, that's me when I graduated.
Amen.
Handsome, debonair.
Yeah.
Any woman would have wanted a man like that. That was me. And we hadn't got married yet, but it was coming. But we did get married, and there we are.
Amen.
Isn't that pitiful looking? No other preacher give me $5 back, huh?
Yeah.
Look there, Steve. And here's the one here. I still get aggravated about this one. That's the preacher kissing my bride. Now, I've married a lot of people, and I've never kissed nobody else's bride yet, Brother Eddie. And I still ain't got over that. So we got married. We got married, and then I kind of went the wrong way. Steve, there's your pastor. My, what God has done, what God has wrought, amen?
Yeah.
God has brought me the wrong way. So we're married now, and I can't believe she ain't hadn't already left me looking like that, amen? And it gets worse than that.
Yeah.
There's another one there. That's when I was smoking there. Got a 2 mile hanging out my mouth and need a haircut. And that's your pastor. Oh, I thought you won't see it. But we got to, he said, show this side over here.
Yeah. I said, you should have fixed the slideshow.
Marla, yeah. Didn't have time, really. And Marla had seen all these. She was there firsthand, amen. But we got married. And we're still married, thank God.
Amen, brother.
And the Lord's brought us a long way.
That's right.
God give us 2 boys, and Scott and Corey. And there's Scott's family there, and his wife, and Ann, and all the kids there. There they all are. God's added to our marriage.
Amen.
And a lot of memories there in that picture there. And I'll show you the other one in a minute. It's up there. Now we've been married, we've been married 25 years. We look a little better. Church has made a difference. God has helped us.
Yeah.
And God's cleaned us up a little bit. And we was married 25 years there, and the good church, they had a 25-year anniversary thing for us and give us some money and sent us away for 2 weeks. And we went and spent 2 weeks up in Sugar Creek, Ohio, at the Amish country up there. We had a great time up there. Now, of course, I got 2 boys, and there's the other one and all his family. Of course, I know everybody here tonight knows them, sees them every Sunday. But I just want to say that God has blessed us. Amen.
Amen.
And God has brought us a long way.
That's right.
And what I'm really trying to get you to see here is I'm trying to get you to say that if you'll take a past look in your life,
if
you'll get that picture box out and look where God has brought you from, what God has done in your life, and you'll see some pictures there that remind you of tough times and hard times and troubled times and times when you almost parted, but by the grace of God you stayed together. And you'll remember all that, amen. You'll remember what God's done. Don't wait till you die and play a movie of your life. It won't do but one side any good then. I tell you, it'd be good to get that picture book out about once a year or twice a year and just look through it and see where God has brought you from.
Amen. Amen.
I'm telling you, listen, people change. Don't you believe that?
Oh, yeah.
Time changes us, don't it?
Yeah.
You know, they say that when people stay married for a long time, they begin to look like each other. I was preaching up at the old Kentucky camp meeting this year, and I was preaching, and in my preaching, somehow or another, they came in a sermon, and I said, they say people that's been married a while, they begin to look like each other. Brother Billy Goosby was preaching after me, And he got up there and he said, "I appreciate Brother Prophet's message. I like what Brother Prophet said." He said, "I agree with everything Brother Rick said." But he said, "My wife is sitting right back there." And he said, "If you think she looks like me," he said, "you need an eye exam." Amen. So anyway, I don't know if that's true or not, but sometimes it seems like it is. But time changes us all. Yeah. We don't look like we did when we married even 3 years ago or 4 years ago, and certainly not 42 years ago. Amen. Yeah. I asked my wife not long ago, I said, "Will you still love me when my hair's gone, my teeth come out, when I'm not attractive anymore?" And she said, "I do."
Yeah. Amen, brother.
Amen. Yeah. But I'm talking about probing your memory. I'm talking about bringing some things to your mind that you have forgotten about,
right,
that God has brought you through. Amen. Can I tell you, you know, the world hates marriage. The devil hates marriage.
You're right, brother.
And they've come a long ways in destroying the foundation of the home.
That's right.
Amen.
But I want you to know, and I'm worried about this crowd. You know, they passed this law, same-sex marriage.
Bless you.
They passed this law. There was a lot of talk about it there. For several weeks before and certainly after, and then everything kind of died down. That worries me.
Bless him, Lord.
It worries me when the enemy gets quiet.
Yeah.
As long as they're making a round racket, I know where they are. I know what they're doing. But when it gets quiet, I don't know what they're doing. I don't know where they're at.
Right.
I don't know what they're thinking. That worries me. Amen. And I'm not going to preach on it every Sunday. I'm not going to hammer on that every Sunday because you'd get tired of hearing it and I'd get tired of preaching it. But I do want to say this. Don't never, ever get that out of your mind,
yeah,
that it ain't right.
The Bible
says it ain't right. It's a perversion. And don't let the quietness and don't let yourself be swept into agreeing with something that the Bible is so plain on and the Bible says is wrong. Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
God made Adam and Eve.
Yeah.
And he said he brought Eve to Adam.
Right.
And Adam said, a woman.
Amen.
And then Eve looked at Adam and said, "Amen." Amen. Listen, they sang that song. I thought they might sing it tonight. I don't want to play the Holy Spirit and tell everybody what to sing, what to do. But they sang that song about count the milestones one by one.
Yeah.
That's a good thing to do, my friend.
Yeah.
Is to remember where God has brought you from.
Amen.
You're probably, if you've been married very long, you're probably living in a better house than you lived in when you married. You're probably driving a better car than you did when you married. You probably have a little better handle on life than you did when you first married. You need to take a past look and look back there and see where God has brought you from.
That's right, Brother Rick. That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let me say this tonight. You need to take an upward look.
Yeah.
And when I said you need to take a past look, you say, where's that at in the Bible? Revelations 2.
Amen.
The Bible said unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, write these things, saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and has found them liars, and is born, and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored, and has not fainted. Verse 4, nevertheless I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. You say, what's that got to do with marriage? Everything. That's Christ talking to his church,
yeah,
and isn't his church his bride?
Yeah.
Yes.
And what he's saying is he said, you need to stop, and you need to look back there where you come from, and you need to look when you started out and see what's been happened and where you're at and how things have not gone for you. Amen.
Amen.
And that's what God's saying there. And then we need to look up. That's prayer. John 17. Verse 20, the Lord said, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through my word. What's he saying here? That's Christ. talking about his bride. And he said, I've already prayed for you.
Yeah.
That what he said?
Yeah.
And he said, I ain't only prayed for you. I prayed for all those others that's going to believe
that's because of
my name. That's you and me.
Yeah.
And so he's saying here, this is Jesus Christ, and he's saying that we need to pray for one another. Brother Raymond King used to sing that old song, the family who prays shall never be parted.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
You believe that? Yes, I do. If both people are Christians and love the Lord and their prayer life is sincere and honest, both of them, I believe that the devil would not be able to part them other than by death. But most of the time that ain't the case. But that's what Paul said here in 1 Corinthians 7, isn't it? He said, let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. And he talks about prayer. And then you go over to 2 Peter chapter 2.
Right?
Over to 1 Peter, I think it is. And you go over there. First Peter chapter 3.
Chapter 3, verse 7.
Get it right there in a minute. Let's go back to the very, very first verse. 1 Peter chapter 3. Here's what he says. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection unto your own husband, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of their wife. A man and a woman that had a very successful marriage. And a man was talking to them because their marriage had been so successful. And she said, why do you think your marriage has been so successful? And she said, because, she said, I let my husband be the boss. And he said, who decided that your husband could be the boss? And she said, I did.
Amen.
Now that sounds funny. But it wasn't meant for a joke. You see, unless you decide that your husband's going to be the head of your home, he won't.
That's right, brother.
But if you want God's blessing upon your home, you have to follow God's order. And God's order is, first of all, God. He's the head of the man, Ephesians 5.
Yeah.
God is the head of the man. And then that man, if he follows his order, he'll get under his head and he'll obey his head and he'll do what his head says.
That's right.
And then if that woman follows her order, she'll get under her husband and she'll do what he says. And then they'll have kids and they'll get under the mom and the dad and they'll do what they say. And then you have perfect authority all the way down through the home. Now, one of the reasons that homes don't stay together anymore is because it's all out of sorts.
Amen.
Right.
It's most of the time nowadays, it's not the man or the woman that's the head of the home, it's the children.
That's true.
Amen. I hear it all the time. People say, well, I'd like to come to church over there, but my children don't want to come to church over there. The children, you know, they're young. They're not mature. They don't know what's best for them spiritually. That's why they need parents that will help them to know where to go and what to do and all this kind of a thing. Amen?
Amen.
A lot of people, you see, you said there in verse 5, of 1 Corinthians 7, verse 5, he said the reason that he wanted all this to happen, of course, to avoid fornication there, but also he said so that you can give yourself to prayer and fasting.
Amen.
The Bible said in 1 Peter, it talked about the husband and the wife getting together there in chapter 3 and down at verse 7. And he said the reason, he said, you husbands, said you need to dwell with your wife according to knowledge. You need to realize that that wife is not like you. And that you are not like that wife. Dwell with them according to knowledge. Realize that they are in the Word of God sense, the weaker vessel. That's what God says. And you need to realize that. Women are most of the time are more emotional than men are. And mostly, a lot of times, women are sometimes weaker than men. Now, I know nowadays there's plenty of women that can whip any man. I know that. But besides the fact of that, The Bible says, and I believe the Bible said that woman is the weaker vessel. And when you put it in a place, it'll always come out.
Yeah,
you put them on the battlefield, you put them out at working a man's job, it'll always come out sooner or later. It'll come out that God's word's right. They are the weaker vessel. Amen. And then you see some people think that marriage involves three rings. An engagement ring, a wedding ring, and suffering.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, but you got to tell me.
But God meant marriage to be a good thing.
That's right.
That's right.
You know, we've hurt ourselves in this America. We've hurt ourselves because back, I don't know when it started, but back a long time ago, we begin to degrade marriage.
That's right.
And we begin to do opposite of what the Word of God says.
Yeah, we
begin to honor marriage like we ought to honor marriage.
That's
now,
right.
You go to some of these far and third world countries and the Philippines, places like that. Boy, when somebody gets married, it's the greatest thing ever was.
Yeah.
And it ought to be.
Amen.
Amen. A man and a woman are coming together and they say we love each other, and what they're saying in essence is that I love this person so much that whatever life I have left, I'm willing to give it all to them. And they're, and that woman saying, I love this man so much that whatever life I have left, I'm willing to give it all to him. Amen.
Amen.
You see, we can be spiritual in our preaching. We can be spiritual in our praying. We can be spiritual in our testifying.
Right.
But how spiritual would we be if God based our spirituality on how we treat our wife or how we treat our husband? How spiritual would we really be?
Amen, Brother Rick.
Amen. So think about it.
That's right.
Yes, sir. The Bible says, look up, pray. Pray for your wife. Pray,
that's
for,
right.
Pray for your husband.
Sure do. Amen.
Pray for yourself.
Amen.
You say, what should you pray? Well, I've been married 42 years. And there's a lot of prayers, you know, that you pray. But we don't always agree. And I'm not always right. Sometimes she's not always right.
Right.
We don't always agree. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Is everybody here has perfect agreement? I don't think so.
No.
We don't always agree, Brother Eddie.
When we was dating, we did.
You did when you was dating?
Yeah, whatever you want to do on.
Let's that rewind. Go
Amen.
Back.
Amen.
Amen. But God wants us to pray for each other.
That's right.
I prayed this prayer many times, and I prayed it, and this is no reflection on my wife. I'm just saying I prayed it many times, but I prayed with tears running down my face. God, help me not be bitter against my wife.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You ever prayed that prayer?
Oh, yeah.
She probably prayed that prayer to me. God, help. And you know the Bible says that. The Bible talks about that. Amen.
Yeah.
How do you pray for your wife? Do you pray for your wife?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, you should pray for your wife before you pray for anything.
Yeah,
I'm talking
right.
To the men now.
You're right.
4 o'clock this morning.
You see, I hadn't always seen it this way. I hadn't always known it this way. But my wife is more important than this church.
Mm-hmm. You're right, Brother Rick. You're right.
Amen.
Gift from God.
Yeah. I used to didn't think that. You say, why do you say that now? Because this church is not my wife. This church is Christ's wife.
Yes, yeah. Right. Right.
You're right.
What would I be if I was more concerned about Brother Eddie's wife than it was my own wife? See what I'm saying?
Right.
And so, that's right, ain't it, brother? That's right. And I want you to know, listen, a lot of marriages would get along wonderful, wonderful.
Right.
Wonderful if we just pray for each other.
That's right.
Buddy, prayer works. And I've seen God answer prayer in a lot of ways. But if there's any way that I've seen God speed up and get on the ball and answer prayer, it's when I pray concerning my marriage.
Amen, Brother Rick.
Amen.
You're right.
Amen.
That's right.
When things ain't going so good and I get along somewhere and I say, God, it wasn't good when I left this morning, but I pray that God, you'll speak to me. I pray, God, you'll speak to her.
Yeah.
And when I get back home this evening, Lord,
yeah,
I pray that things will be different.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, 100 times God has answered that prayer.
That's right.
Brother, you're praying for your husband and wife. You're praying in the will of God.
That's right.
Now, of course, if we do what the Bible says,
it's in Christ.
If we do what the Bible says, We're not supposed to marry unsaved people.
That's right.
But we don't do what the Bible says. A lot of times that's the way we start out. That's the way it begins. So the first prayer you need to pray is a prayer I think Jesus would pray on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them. They know not what to do.
Amen.
What you're doing, he's praying for salvation. And I think one of the first things that ought to be done by a saved husband that has a lost wife or a lost wife that has a saved husband, one of the first things that ought to be done is you ought to pray for that person to get saved.
Yeah. That's right.
Amen. And let me help you women out here some. I don't think we got in here like this tonight, but God knows I've dealt with them over the years. Because they're and good women, but they'll say this, they'll say, well, I'm not going to go to church till my husband goes to church. No, don't do that.
Right.
Because the Bible says in that chapter, 1 Peter 3, we read there, the Bible said that you might be able to win your husband with the right kind of conversation. You might be able to lead them to God. Amen?
Yes.
Now, I don't believe in women preachers, but I believe that a woman could come this morning and hear the sermon I preached, and Brother A, I think she'd go home and preach to her husband.
Yes. Amen.
And I think she could go home and say in a nice way, honey, I wish you'd been to church today. The pastor preached about Naaman, and he likened that to how people get saved. And he said Naaman made three great mistakes, and oh, I wish you'd been there sitting by me.
Yeah.
And you see, there's been many, many a lost husband won because of a wife with a quiet spirit that went home, and she very wisely shared the word of God with her husband, and it come in time that God watered and gave the increase. And amen. They got
saved.
Amen.
Yeah.
Of course, I think most people I'm talking to tonight, that the husband's saved and the wife's saved. So we don't need to pray about that. But we need to pray about our tribulation.
Yeah.
Jesus said in the world you'll have tribulation.
That's right, Brother Keith.
There'll be some days that Brother Keith will go to work out there at Dana and it won't go too good.
Yeah.
And everything went wrong that day. And there'll be some days that Sister Marla will go over at Barron County High School and things won't go so good. The kids won't mind. Things don't go good. And we have tribulation in this world.
Yes.
And what happens when we have tribulation is we want to take it out. We can't take it out on that kid at school. Brother Keith can't take it out on that boss. He'd fire and send him home.
So what we do is we come home and we take it out on somebody we know loves us enough. That we're pretty sure they won't leave us.
That's right, Brother.
We take it out on each other.
Yeah.
Jesus said, in the world you have tribulation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the world's got wild now. It's got wild, and now we've got men married men and women married women, and we wonder how long it'll be before a man can marry three women or a woman can marry four husbands or whatever perversion might happen. We wonder how that'll go. Now, this happened. In Houston, Texas, February the 14th, 2000. So 15 years ago this happened. And what it was, and none of us would have known anything about it. The Houston paper carried an article on it. And pet lovers and dog lovers, they heard about it. But what it was there was two dogs there. And one's name was Benny and the other's name was Brandy. And of course, Benny was the man, Brandy was the woman. And the reason it made the front page of the Houston paper and the reason it was such a big thing is that these two dogs was going to get married. And they dressed Benny up in a little dog tuxedo and they dressed the other one up in a little wedding dress like, you know, dressed it up and made headlines. And dog lovers, they loved it. But a preacher saw it and he said, beats anything I ever seen. He said, here's dogs that are wanting to act like people and get married. And he said, we got married couples all over this country that act like dogs. They bark and growl at each other all day long.
Yeah.
Isn't that true?
Oh, yeah, brother.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
Someone said, you always hurt the one that loves you.
That's right. Yeah.
I think there's probably some truth to that. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
We always hurt the one that loves us. But I'm talking about how to help our marriage. I'm talking about looking back. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about looking up and praying. Praying for your wife when she has that tribulation. Asking God. The Bible said tribulation worketh
patience.
Yeah. Now the person going through the tribulation, a lot of times right there, they don't have much patience.
That's right, Brother Rick.
And they come in, they blow up, and maybe they let the other partner have it. But that's when you got to pray that God will give you patience.
Yeah, that's right.
And don't say what you want to say.
Yeah. That's right, Brother Rick.
Amen. I think one of the greatest things to help your marriage and my marriage is to work on keeping our mouth shut.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, he's one great good communication.
Especially at certain times.
Yep.
What is it, Proverbs 15:1? It says, a soft answer turneth away wrath.
Yeah.
But grievous words stir up anger.
Mm-hmm.
You say, what's that mean? That means you come in, your wife jumps all over you and you say, well, that's okay, honey. I'm sorry you had a bad day.
Bless you, Brother Rick.
Yep.
Rather than when she jumps all over you, that you say, well, but I'm glad it happened to you, and I wish it had been even worse today. No, you don't want to say stuff like that. We need to remember there's a devil out there.
Yeah.
Amen. And he hates every married couple.
That's true.
Ephesians 5:25, it says something that I've studied about a lot, Steve. And it said, husband, love your wife even as Christ loved the church. How does Christ love the church? Well, he gave himself for it, Brother David said. He does. I just told you, he prays for it. If you're going to love your wife like Christ loves the church, you're going to have to pray for him. Amen?
That's right.
You have to pray for him. If you're going to love your wife like Christ loves the church, the Bible said that he first descended and then he ascended and then he done what?
Descended.
Gave gifts.
Yeah.
Gave gifts. You'd be amazed what a flyer would do. Be amazed what a card at the right time would do. I'm not talking about at Christmas. I'm not talking about special days when everybody gets one. Try sending one when nobody else gets one. And hey, women, that don't just work for y'all. It works for men, too. Someone said that, you know, a lot of people's like, a lot of us men, we're like the old man that got married and had been married for about 45 years. And his wife said, you don't never tell me you love me. He said, I told you when we got married and nothing's changed. If ever changes, I'll tell you about it. Somebody said, well, you know, they ought to know I love them, but the way they act, they do. They know that. But, you know, I don't know much about this thing. I'm learning, Eddie. But one thing I know is women go by what they hear.
You're right. You're right.
Amen.
Amen.
And some of you just need to tell your wife you love her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wouldn't hurt a thing.
That's right, Brother Rick. Nurturing.
And ain't a bit of use in the world of waiting if God takes her first, of waiting till they're at the casket and telling everybody else how much you love them.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yes, my grandmother, grandfather, I know he loved my grandmother, but he was a man of few words, and I never heard him, you know, say he loved her. I know he did, but I know when she was dying and I was with him up there in intensive care ward out here at the hospital, and he was standing there by her and he was rubbing her white hair.
Yeah.
It used to be just cold black. And he was rubbing her hair. He was standing there in the tears running down his face. And yeah. He's saying, I love you, come. And I didn't know, but I was standing there hoping, I hope you told her that.
Yeah.
When she's living. Amen.
Amen, Brother.
Why is it so hard to say those words? You know, Madeline Murray O'Hara, a vowed atheist,
mm-hmm.
God hated her,
yeah.
Died a terrible death.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But she left to die. And it said that many times in that diary were these words, I wonder if anybody loves me. Love lifted me.
Amen.
Everybody needs to know somebody loves them. Amen.
Right.
And we can show it, but God give us mouth, we can also say it. Amen.
Amen. That's right.
So, we got to look back. We got to look back. That's the past. Look back to where you've come from.
Right.
Some of y'all dated in high school. Some of y'all been together for a long time. Some of y'all have brought your pictures and showed them. I think that'd make a fun thing. To have a supper and everybody bring pictures. See what everybody used to look like and where everybody used to come from. Amen. I think it'd be a good thing for that. An upward look. Pray. Pray for your... You pray for your wife every day. You pray for your husband every day.
Pretty much.
You should.
Yeah.
Are you getting any answers? If you're not, maybe you're praying the wrong way.
Yeah.
I prayed about some things sometimes and just never did happen. And one day God said, it's not going to happen because the change don't need to be on that end. It needs to be on this end.
That's right, brother. Yeah. Been there. Sure enough.
A lot of people just pray and they don't get an answer, so they think, well, God must not be answering, or God must not be hearing. Sometimes find out why God ain't answering.
Right.
Find out why God ain't hearing. Sometimes you may be asking the wrong thing. Maybe instead of praying for God to change them, you ought to pray for God to change you.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen.
I look back, I look up. And then I look at and say, where's that at? Most intimate book in the Bible, the Song of Solomon. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Song of Solomon. You go to Scofield Bible, page 707. It says the bridegroom speaks.
Mm-hmm.
What's he speaking about? He's speaking about his bride.
Yeah.
He said, behold, thou art fire, my love. Behold, thou art fire. Thou hast dove eyes within thy locks. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Mount Gilead. Thy teeth are like a flock of sheep that are even shorn when they came up from washing, whereof every one beareth twins, and none is barren among them. Thy lips are like a thread of scarlet. Now you might want to use a different vocabulary. I don't know how your wife would take it when you say, honey, your teeth look like sheep. You might want to update that a little bit, amen. Say, honey, you got a beautiful smile. But now that's him. That's the bridegroom. He praises the bride first. But then look over in chapter 5. And this is her talking. Verse 10. And she said, my beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. His head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy. Some of you couldn't say that. And black as a raven. Amen. The point I'm making here is he's praising her and she's praising him.
Amen.
Now I've asked Leah to help me. And Leah, I want you to come up here on the platform with me, if you would, please. And I'm going to illustrate what a husband and a wife is supposed to do to each other. This is the bow. That's the man. This is the violin. That's the woman. Now apart, they don't do nothing. But watch when you put them together.
Bless you, Lord. Bless you.
Right.
But when you put them together, they're supposed to make music.
Yeah.
Right.
You see, one accommodates the other.
That's right.
And neither one it does anything without the other. But when you put them together, they accommodate each other, and they have a song. They make music. Amen.
Yeah.
That's what it ought to do. But you know what most husband and wife do? They don't praise each other, Steve.
That's right.
They run each other down.
That's right.
And they criticize each other.
Yes, you're right.
All the time.
You're right.
Amen. And in studying for this message, I stumbled upon this, and it said, you know, they preach a lot about women working and about women need to
stay at home, raise the kids, and all that kind of stuff. And I know it's in the Bible and all that. But it said one of the reasons why a lot of women went to work is because at the end of the week they got a paycheck and at least they felt like it was worth something.
Oh,
amen. Now when the Bible said that the woman was the weaker vessel, it didn't mean it wasn't any good. It didn't mean it should be criticized all the time. It doesn't mean that. You say, yes, Brother Rick, but you don't know this. You don't know that. Listen, I've been married 42 years. I know a little something.
Amen.
You know what the devil does? They get us to look for points of criticism.
You're right.
Instead of looking for points of praise.
Yes. That's right.
Isn't that true? We start focusing upon criticism. Now, it might have been your wife's looks or your husband's looks that attracted you to him or her 40 years ago. Now, don't miss this. If the only attraction you have is her looks, or the only attraction you have is his looks, time will dissolve your marriage.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
Oh, yeah. Like a flower of faith.
Because nobody's going to stay looking the same. And it might have been that attracted you, but it's not that that's supposed to keep you together. What's to keep you together is that you go through things. You stick it out. You go through things. A little girl came to her old grandma, and she had her wedding rings, and her husband done dead, but she come in there, and she said, Grandma, she said, boy, said they make these rings heavy and rugged back then. They're different than now. And the old grandma said, honey, back then they built them to last.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Purpose. What is the whole purpose in marriage? I read it to you. God said he brought Eve to Adam.
Right.
And they was to leave their mother and their father. And they were to cleave to each other. Mm-hmm. And they were to become one.
That's right.
That happens a little bit over time.
That's right.
I couldn't tell you how many times I've come in.
Listen.
And I say, I think I'll go get us some fish or something. You say, that's just what I say.
Thanks, Lord.
I think we'll go here tonight.
Yeah.
And I'll say, that's what I was thinking.
Amen, Brother Rick.
You say, maybe more than looking alike, mm-hmm. that when you're together a long time, you start thinking alike. Now, I'm almost done here. J. Harold Smith was one of the greatest Southern Baptist evangelists that they had.
Yeah.
He preached a lot of great sermons. I have many of them in my collection of sermons, but the greatest sermon he ever preached was God's Three Deadlines. Scores of people were saved from J. Harold Smith preaching God's Three Deadlines. You say, what's this got to do with marriage? Wait a minute. J. Harold Smith lived right beside the woman he married when he was a kid. They were childhood sweethearts. Her name was Murchison. J. Harold's family lived right here. Murchison's family lived right here. And I mean from the time they were 5 or 6 or 7 years old, they were always sweet on each other. And Murchison would leave to walk to school. He hadn't walked to school. She'd leave to walk to school and she'd tell J. Harold, he'd wait and he'd watch for her, just a little boy. He'd wait and watch for her. And when he'd seen her go by, then he would come out and start walking up there to catch her and carry her book. And she walked slow so he could catch her.
Yeah.
And sweethearts all through school.
Amen, brother.
And of course, back in his one-room school. And he said one day that J. Harold was talking and he got in trouble and he always walked her home from school and he didn't carry her books. He got in trouble that day and the teacher said, J. Harold, you're going to have to stay after school today. It about killed him. But Mercy sat behind him, and she slipped him a little piece of paper up there and said, "I walk real slow." And I wait for them. They got out of school. They got married. They had three children, two boys and a girl. They lost a five-year-old boy. He died. He went into the ministry, preached, and died at 91. She died before he did. But he was sitting with her at the hospital. She went into a coma and no response for days. He sat by her and held her hand. But right before she died, she come to him. She said, "Jay Harrell, I'm going to die. God's going to take me." And she said, "I'll walk here." Bless you, Brother Rick.
Amen.
I walk real slow. So you can catch up with me. That's what it's supposed to be, folks.
That's right, Brother Rick. Got a favor,
that's what it's all about. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, I thank you. Lord, tonight, these thoughts concerning our marriages. And I pray that God will help us do a little maintenance on our own marriages. Maybe reach a point where that we're fussing more, that we're criticizing, putting down more than we're praising. And we need to come repent of that and then ask God to help us to see the good points in our mate. And God, I pray that as I preached today, they didn't have pictures, but in their mind they do. And I pray they went down backwards in their mind and they saw where they started at, what God's brought them through. Standing by the graveside, buried parents, maybe some even children. And they've been through hard times, but still together by the grace of God. And Lord, I do pray. Lord, I ask you tonight, everyone that's in this room that's married tonight, I pray that God has took these little thoughts and helped them.
Yes,
and I pray even tomorrow, even tonight, they'll look back. And I pray, Lord, even tonight and in the morning, they'll look up for their mate. And I pray they'll look after me and realize that what God's given us. The Bible said, "Whosoever findeth a wife findeth a good thing, obtaineth favor of the Lord."
Bless him, Lord.
And a good man's hard to find. God help us to appreciate each other and to not hinder each other through life, but be a help to each other.
Help
us to come together like the bow and the violin did tonight. And make some music, Lord, that this old world needs to see and hear. I think maybe the greatest antidote for this same-sex marriage thing is not screaming and yelling and hollering and preaching. But I think maybe the best antidote is for some people to see some happily married couples that love God. Help us, Lord, tonight in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's stand tonight if you would. Amen. Amen. Tonight, if you just get your wife's hand, let's go down the altar and pray. Maybe marriage is good. I promise you this, it's under attack. The devil, Lord. The devil. You don't want it to be good. You mind God. You mind God. Thank you.